Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
This is the Sporting KC Show on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
It falls to Eli on the volley. What a finish. Gotti Kinda has struck. It falls to Polito and he puts it in. To Johnny Russell. First time shot. And Johnny Russell has a hat trick.
The Sporting KC Show is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. Superior light beer with only 95 calories and 2.6 carbs. Michelob Ultra. Find your fit.
Now your host, Nate Buchady.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show on your home for SKC Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB. Wherever you get your podcasts, wherever you stream your content, we appreciate you joining us for the first time of this 2021 season, which is just around the corner. A little delayed start for the MLS season this year. Usually by the time we get to April, we're in full swing, but the season is just around the corner. My name is Nate Buchady. We are presented by Michelob Ultra. Sporting KC's show is sponsored by Michelob Ultra. Superior light beer with only 95 calories and 2.6 carbs. Michelob Ultra, find your fit. Joined as always by Allie Trost and Carter Augustine. Allie, how are you?
I'm doing well. You know, I got a little nostalgic thinking about this time last year and how much things changed so drastically for our show. And of course, you know, we're just on the lesser end of the spectrum here for people in MLS affected. But just to see everything that transpired from this time last year to where we are now. And while the season is delayed, very, very glad to see MLS soccer back in action for a full slate of games. Just so pumped for this season and looking to get out to Children's Mercy Park. The weather these early days of this week have me in full-blown soccer mode. So I'm excited and I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. What about you, Carter?
Yeah, doing great. You know, like Allie, I'm excited for a full schedule release that came out. Looks like, you know, fingers crossed and I'm, you know, cautiously but hopefully optimistic about improving conditions everywhere, and you know, hopefully that continues. And you know, it does seem that this season will be a lot better, just overall. So a lot to be excited about, and hopefully the players around the league didn't put on the hibernation weight that I have in the off season since our last show. So hopefully those guys.
Yeah, Michelob, I need to find my fit. That's what
I think we're all in the same boat there. I'm certainly not in any position to cast any stones. But Peter Vermees says that every single player on the Sporting KC roster showed up in shape and ready to go, which hasn't usually been the case. So fortunately, Carter, it looks like the guys took a different off-season regimen than the three of us did. So, which is good because it's more important that they're fit than we are. It is funny that you say that, Allie, because I came down to my basement office here and got everything set up and ready and realized, like, I haven't done one of these Zooms in a few months now, I don't think, at least not for a show. And it kind of hits you like, We just kind of came up with this idea on the fly last year. And then we came into this season like, it worked really well. Why not stick with it? Because we can do it on video. We can do it on TV. We can have the players join us face to face virtually. Which, speaking of, our guest today on the show is going to be Gianluca Busio, which is a really exciting thing. He had the big goal in Sporting Kansas City's 1-0 victory on Saturday that hopefully you watched on sportingkc.com. And obviously the big news of asking for that responsibility of wearing the number 10 jersey this year. So that's coming up on the show in just a little bit. But guys, since this is the first show of the season, it's been another busy off season for Sporting KC. And there have been a litany of changes. We're not going to run through every single move that the Sporting Kansas City made in the off season, but I thought maybe we could each talk about one that we're most interested in seeing as it plays out on the field in 2021. So Allie, I'll start with you. What move did Sporting KC move this offseason that really has you most interested?
Well, that back line, I mean, that was a really big question mark going into the offseason, the departure of Matt Beisler. Where was Sporting going to go to find his, maybe not his replacement necessarily, because he did, you know, fall out of favor towards the end of the season. We didn't see him play as much, but still his presence on that back line and his veteran leadership was something that was going to leave quite the gap. They go in and get center back Nicholas Ismaret Marin. Izzy, is that the nickname that I'm Easy, hearing?
Right?
Easy. So Sporting fans, you don't have to worry about having a mouthful of trying to say his full name every time. Izzy will get the job done, but they bring him in. And really what's unique in that too is that Andreu Fontas is finally back to full health after a really horrible, I mean, just slew of injuries, dealing with some Achilles. But I mean, when you really look at this center back position, Andreu Fontas got some games in last season and even scored a goal, but he's going to be kind of a new player that's been in the system for a while. Pair that with a second year of Roberto Puncic and then the addition of Izzy. And this looks like a really exciting center back room. You know, this is a player, Izzy at least, that, you know, has said he wants to be challenged here in Kansas City. He brings a lot of experience from some of Europe's best, you know, leagues and teams. So he's going to be a really veteran type player who can come in and, you know, wants to learn, wants to challenge himself. And Ramiz said a couple of key things that I think really stood out about what he'll bring to this back line that were missing last season. You know, his spatial awareness. We saw this back line kind of get caught, stagnant, or, you know, got caught off the counter. And we saw that in the Minnesota United game. So maybe someone who brings that spatial awareness can cover a lot of ground. But either way, this back line went from looking like they didn't have a whole lot of depth to now looking like they've got a considerable amount of it. So really looking forward to seeing how the back line as a whole kind of comes together in 2021 and what Izzy can bring to that center back position that was lacking in a lot of areas, but now looks like there's going to be maybe some good competition back there. So I'm excited to see that.
For sure. What about you, Carter?
Yeah, I agree, Elliot. And how quickly can he adapt to this new league, this new team? That'll be critical to Sporting KC's success, I think. Another guy that I'm interested in is the other Frenchman they brought in, Remy Walter. Had to train my mind not to say Remy Martin every time. I don't drink that, by the way. I don't drink that. So I don't know why it's a mental block, but it is. Maybe it's all the Jay-Z songs I listened to growing up, but it's Remy Walter. Very nice guy. I had the chance to meet him when he first got in Kansas City. And, you know, he's still learning English, but he is still kind of funny. And so I think that's that was a pretty cool moment for him to come in and still be cracking jokes in a language that he doesn't quite understand. You know, he's not quite there yet, but hopefully it translates on the field for him. Some young legs in midfield, just 25 years old. So, you know, entering the prime of his career, you would think. He represented France at pretty much every single youth level. So, you know, this is a guy that's had quality throughout his career. And just with EC, he's been in some top leagues over in Europe. And so to bring him over in the prime of his career, by all accounts, you know, he's got a wand of a left foot. Talking to Tim Melia, and he was really talking about his ability to take the ball under pressure, which obviously in this Sporting KC midfield is so important. And he says he's a great release valve and he's fitting in very well. We heard Peter Vermees say he could play several positions in midfield as well. So maybe the versatility will be very big for Sporting this season. But you know, so far we saw in that game against LA Galaxy, it was him, Ilya, and Busio. I'm excited to see what he brings to the midfield. And I got to think maybe just the young, in the prime legs will be a really big asset for Sporting if he can hit the ground running as well. What about you, Nick?
Yeah, so the other real major moves were all academy kids getting signed as homegrown players. And I know that doesn't count as one little move, but for me, I think it's going to be really a really significant thing to watch this year in terms of which teams can get real production out of some of their homegrowns through the course of the season. They're cramming a lot of games into a relatively short window again, and we're going to talk about the schedule later on in the show, but late in the season, there are going to be a lot of midweek games. And we know what that's like when you have to have some squad depth and you're going to have to count on some guys, players get hurt, things like that. And so you know, look, you have your high priced players, but then you also have these homegrowns you've invested a lot in, and which teams can get some real production in those games that they need. Sporting got a lot of that last year in some of the games that they had to win. And so I'm excited to see that overall. And the one guy that I would maybe that I'm most intrigued by, and I'm curious your thoughts on this, Carter, as the guy that watched him more than anybody doing all the play-by-play for the SKC2 games, is Wilson Harris. Now, I know he isn't technically an off-season acquisition because they signed him at the end of last season, but didn't really get to play any. And he's getting a lot of playing time down in Arizona, or has been in preseason. This kid has scored everywhere he plays, and he's scored again this preseason almost every time he's had the opportunity. And we've talked about it, but to me, there's nothing flashy there. There's nothing that jumps off the page at you except for the most important thing in the game, which is putting the ball in the back of the net. He just seems to have that knack for it. So I'm fascinated to see, does it translate from USL to preseason? It translated now from preseason to the regular season. If and when he gets some chances, you know, is that skill that he just seems to have a knack for still going to be there?
It's a great question. And yeah, you're right. He's a really intriguing one because of, he's just a fox. Fox in the box. He reminds me a little bit of Chicharito in the fact that, like, you know, at his best, in between the goalposts in the 18-yard box, if that thing gets to him, he's going to put it on frame, and usually in a place that makes it really difficult for the goalkeeper. So I agree. I've always been impressed by him. We hear Jacob Peterson talk about his movement is really, really great. And that's what makes him the player that he is his movement is incredible. And he usually does a good job of occupying the two center backs. He almost scored again in that game against the Galaxy a couple times. And there were kind of little half chances that not a lot of players would be on the end on, but he's on the end of those. So I agree with you. I'm intrigued, and you never know with this season. Alan Pulido could be seeing some substantial time with Mexico. You know, there's the Gold Cup this summer, which we're not quite sure what both the teams will be, you know, both the bigger teams will be doing, USA and Mexico, with the Gold Cup. It might be a different roster. But then in September, there's a triple match window for World Cup qualifying. So, you would expect the top roster to be going away to that one. So Pulido can miss some time. And what happens if he does miss some time? Maybe Wilson Harris will be fighting for some minutes in there. I'm with you. He's an intriguing prospect.
Well, all right, so that's at the top of our list. Go ahead, Allie. Anything else before we take a break?
Say, we talked with him, I think it was after that hat trick, and I was really impressed with just his mentality and his confidence. It was just like this calm confidence that he had, and I feel like that's kind of what you need as a striker, and especially as someone who could, like you said, be getting a lot more minutes in place of Alan Pulido. He seems, at least in again, a short press conference, to be ready for that challenge and really, you know, accepting of what that responsibility could hold. So I'm with you. I'm really excited to see how that translates.
And by the way, Sporting announced another homegrown acquisition on Monday when they announced that 19-year-old center back Kaveh Rad has signed as a homegrown player as well. And he's a center back. He played in this game on Saturday. He was singled out by Peter Vermees. Last week, kind of unprompted, he was asked if there was anybody that kind of been a pleasant surprise in camp. And he said Kaveh Rad has been one of the guys that's really impressed him the most.
All right, so here's Peter Vermees and Kaveh Rad from a news conference from earlier today after the news that Rad had been signed to a first-team contract with Sporting Kansas City.
Obviously, he was signed to the second team. We brought him to preseason with us for obviously a reason. He performed incredibly well there, but we've seen that with him with the second team as well. And as you know, we're continuously trying to promote from within based on the fact that someone's ready or we think has the quality and potential. And he for sure has those things. And I was incredibly impressed with the way that he performed during preseason. And I just like his mentality in the position. I also like his instincts as well. So he's well deserving of the opportunity for sure.
Hey Peter, you in your opening statement there talked about mentality, and I know that's something you bring up a lot when it comes to this position that Kaveh plays in particular. Could you expand on that a little bit? What are some of the things from a mentality standpoint that you're really looking for from a player in that position?
Yeah, I think one is you have to be tough. I think you have to be brave in that position. You have to have good instincts of when to step in and, you know, be hard in the moment. Other moments, you have to know when to delay the situation. You know, you have to have a person that has good decisions in that position, because you're that backbone of the team. And you have to be able to control the line. I always tell players that I think that when they come into that position, it doesn't really matter what their personality is. When they take on that position, they have to understand that there are certain requirements come with it. And one is that you have to be, you don't have to be the captain, but you have to be in your own right a leader. You have to be vocal, because you see the entire field from your position. And so you have to be willing to embark and provide that knowledge, that insight, that vision that you have. You have to be able to impart that on the other players around you to help them. And so being vocal is a really important aspect. And I think that I've seen Kaveh do that with the academy. I've seen him at times do that with the second team. He's now going to have to get that confidence with the first team, but that comes with time. But he definitely has it in him. And then the other thing is that sometimes you got to be nasty in that position, and he has that as well. I've always said that, you know, if a team's playing with two forwards, and the better of the two forwards, and you're one of the central defenders, and they come and plant themselves in front of you, you're probably not perceived as being the nasty of the two central defenders that you have on your team. And so for my thing is you have to be hard. You have to be tough, not dirty. I'm not speaking about being dirty. I'm talking about being tough and hard and strong in the challenge, strong in the air, winning balls. I think you have to be that. And I think that Kaveh has qualities to continue to get better in those areas. I think he's already good. And I think he plays the position with the kind of intensity that, and confidence that I think the position should be played, how the position should be played.
Give us your thoughts on when Peter or whoever actually came to you first and said that they wanted to sign you to the first team.
Yeah, I was very excited. Peter actually came up to me after a training session, and he was like, how does it sound to get an offer? And I was just extremely excited, because I've been working really hard to get up to this point. And I just feel like I'm just overcome with emotion at that point, and happy for my family, because they only want to see me succeed.
Do you remember a time when all of a sudden you realized it wasn't just your dad that loved it, that you loved it too, you know, that this was really a passion of yours?
Yeah, I say around sixth or seventh grade, when I joined an academy back in North Carolina, and I was like, oh, this is actually can be my career. And I mean, getting paid to play soccer is the best job.
All right, so there's a little bit of the press conference from Peter Vermees and Kaveh Rad.
Carter, I know, again, you've watched him a lot at the USL level. Sounds like he's one of those guys, every year there's somebody in camp that really seems to turn some heads and get the coach's attention. Seems like that was Kaveh Rad this time in preseason.
Yeah, and you know, people who watch SKC2, I think, will all say, this guy, he gets better in every single game. And he really, at the end of 2019, kind of started making that position his. And since then, you know, he played in all 16 matches in 2020 for SKC2. He led the team in minutes and passes. You know, I think it's impressing me how much Kaveh Rad gets better with every single game. And, you know, as a young center back, you feel like he's still got a ways to go before he reaches his zenith. But so far, you have to like what you see. And for Peter Vermees to single him out, like you said, I think that speaks very highly of how much they rate him and got rewarded with the contract on Monday. And that brings the number to 11 Academy players, Allie, on Sporting KC's books this year.
It's remarkable. I mean, just 40% about of the roster made up of homegrown players. And we knew that this was kind of coming. We saw, you know, that number increase each year over the last few seasons. But to see, I think, the product of such hard work that's been put in by Vermees and the Sporting KC Academy, I mean, just all the way down the line, they've really invested in this thing. And I think it's showing, and this season has the potential, I think, to be a really big one, not just for Sporting Kansas City, but MLS as a whole, to show, hey, here's what a really successful and well-invested in academy system can produce. And I know there are other great academies around the league, but Sporting Kansas City now leading MLS in number of first team homegrown players. So really excited to see how that translates this season, in a season, again, like you said, where that depth is going to be called upon with the congested schedule. So I think it's a great opportunity, and it sounds like a lot of these players, Busio included in that, Shallowy, Jalen Lindsay, who are ready to take on bigger roles, or for some of the young guys who are on the roster, the first team roster for the first time, ready to kind of look to see, you know, what Busio and Shallowy and those guys did, and do that as well, regardless of what their role on the team is.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Gianluca Busio, speaking of homegrowns, the new number 10 for Sporting KC, as we return, presented by Michelob Ultra.
You're listening to the Sporting KC Show on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
And the Sporting Kansas City Show continues on your home for SKC Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB, and wherever you get your podcast or stream your video content. We appreciate having you, as always, for the first edition of the 2021 Sporting Kansas City Show. We decided to open up big time with our guest, Gianluca Busio. We're talking numbers. This is going to be like Sesame Street with the count. It's going to be all about number talk. I'm just kidding, but that obviously is a big story as well. Boos, how you doing, man? Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm doing well.
So, yeah, we'll just start right there, man. Number 10. Everybody's talking about it. Can you take us through what, from your perspective, what the conversation was like with Peter when you made that that switch?
Yeah, well, I don't really go straight to Peter at the start. I think it started with, Felipe Gutierrez was our 10. And then, they were figuring things out with him. And, you know, it was in the back of my head, you know, if he stays, good. But if, you know, he leaves, then, you know, I'm going to try to ask for number 10. And that was in the back of my head. Then, you know, once I, you know, got more news about that, and, you know, I wasn't coming back, then that's when I kind of asked Mike Kitman. I asked him, I was like, you know, if it's possible that I can get number 10, or, you know, just threw it out to him, subtly. And then he said, yeah, I'll talk to Peter about it. So for a week or two, it was just those two talking. And then, obviously, before the start of the season, you know, we have our player meetings, and, you know, we were just talking about the season and, you know, our goals and expectations and everything. And then I think it was like the last sentence, he kind of threw it in there, and he's like, I heard you want a number 10. And, you know, I was like, yeah. Then it was pretty simple. And it was just like, all right, you can take it. And then obviously he had some, you know, things to say after that about what he expects and the stuff that has to happen as a 10 and stuff like that. So it was pretty quick conversation. I think he was thinking about it a lot before, you know, even talking to me about it. So it was just he asked me, I said, yeah, I wanted it, and, you know, I feel like I can, you know, handle it. So he was happy to give it to me.
Okay, so Boost, does it feel any different, like any superpowers? Like in The Office, Michael Scott had his genes, remember? And he was like, this might be for some people's head, but he kind of had this different persona when he has jeans, with the leather pants on front. Do you have any, like, does it feel different wearing this number?
A little bit, I would say. I mean, I haven't worn it yet. I mean, officially, I guess in preseason that counts, but there's definitely a little more, I don't know, I guess I can walk with a little more confidence now. Not, you know, like big headed or anything, but just the, you know, that you're the number 10, you know, it's a pretty cool thing for me, especially, I guess, you know, it's just a number, but I know, you know, and some players won't think of it that much, but for me, that's one of my goals, is just, you know, that number. It's my, you know, favorite number. And, you know, a lot of the best players in the world and best players ever wore that number. So I walk with definitely a lot more confidence now. And, you know, just as, you know, in the academy, I wore number 10, and, you know, as a kid growing up, I'd always get number 10. And now to do it, you know, at a professional level with a professional team, you know, that I've grown up with, it's pretty special for sure. And it definitely feels good. I'm not going to say, you know, it gives me a better shot or anything, but it definitely, I can carry myself with a little more confidence now.
And a pretty cool thing in the off season, where if fans wanted the new number, there was an offset of the price. And I know, talking to the people at the office, that there were quite a few fans that did want the new Busio 10. So I thought that was a pretty cool move, man. What else were you up to in the off season, as you know, this is the, the first show of our new season. What were you up to in the off season?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, obviously I just went back home. I went back to North Carolina with the family. I think I just spent most of my time there, obviously with COVID and everything. I didn't, you know, just didn't travel as much. And, you know, I was just with the family. I haven't seen them for a while. And, you know, obviously it was over Christmas and, you know, everybody was home. So I just wanted to be back with them. I don't think we did anything big. I think we just hung out at the house. And then I came back to Kansas probably about a month before actual preseason started, just to do my off-season workouts. I feel like that, you know, I wasn't traveling and I had nothing big happening, so I might as well come back early and start you know, really doing my off-season workouts and at the facility and with our trainers and everything. So came back a little early, but I got to see my family for about 2 or 3 months, and that was pretty much all I did throughout the off-season.
We're visiting with Gianluca Abbuccio, and Boos, we on the morning show that I co-host with Stephen St. John, we've been having Graham Zusi on the show, and we were talking with him about the disappointment that the U23s had and not qualifying for the Olympics. And I'm sure you've heard by now, Peter Vermees brought it up at a Zoom call and said, I can't believe they didn't bring Abbuccio in. Graham told us, you know, look, Abbuccio would have been exactly what that team needed. And one of the things he said was, you know, with some of the guys that maybe were kind of shying away from the responsibility of having the ball in crucial moments in that tournament, Graham said that's exactly what Boos could have brought to the table. You know, a guy that wants that responsibility. What was it like for you going through that whole process, watching it? I mean, I'm assuming you wanted to be there. What was going through your mind to happen to sit and watch all that?
Yeah, it was a bittersweet feeling. I'm not going to say it was, you know, cool to watch them when I knew it could have been, you know, me there. And you know, it wasn't anything. They just didn't invite me to the camp. So I think that obviously for any player, that's kind of going to suck. And for me, I wanted to get called up. You know, I was on the preliminary roster and then they just didn't call me up, which obviously it hurts a little bit, but I'm not going to, you know, take it personal or anything. You know, it's the coach's choice. And I'm going to take it in this season and hopefully, you know, prove that they made a mistake. And but it was cool to watch just the, you know, some of the guys that I've been, you know, friends with and been playing with and playing against a lot. Just watching them play on that stage, it was pretty cool to watch them. And I was watching from the hotel and, you know, watched every game and tuned in. And, you know, obviously they fell short, which was just, you know, even though I didn't get called up, you know, it's not something you want to see. It's still your country and it's my national team. You know, I want to see them succeed. For me, it was just, it was weird. You know, I didn't want to say that it was good watching them lose, but, you know, I wanted to be there also. And, hopefully the next Olympics, you know, I'll still be young enough to play for them, start to play for it. So hopefully that'll be the one we qualify for in, you know, 8 or so years.
Boos, you mentioned maybe carrying that into this season as a bit of a motivation. Now that you kind of reset going into 2021, after all that you learned through 2020, what's your primary motivation this season in this role, wearing this new number? What does Gianluca Abbuccio want to achieve in 2021?
Yeah, I want to, you know, prove that I'm the actual number 10. You know, it's a big thing. Obviously, the best players in the world wear number 10, and that's something that I want to, you know, wear the number. It's one thing to have it and, you know, just still be the same player, but I really want to be the, you know, the star, kind of the guy. And then with the number 10, you know, that comes with, you know, scoring goals and getting assists. And I've always said that I've wanted to do that. And, you know, now this year, it's even more. I want to, you know, be in there with the, you know, the highest scores and the most assists in the league, stuff like that, you know, and that's what, you know, I'm going to work towards and hopefully do in the end. And I think I can. I think I have the ability and also the team to do it with. I think the coaches believe in me a lot and they have a lot of trust in me, but also my teammates. So I think you put that all together and, you know, it can really, in the end, be a really special thing this year for me.
You guys have been down in Arizona, just got back. How was the preseason down in Arizona? How long were you guys down there and everything?
Yeah. It was good. We just got back. We were there for about a month and it was really good. Obviously, it's always tough coming into preseason and, you know, it's seeing where everybody's fitness level is at and everything. So the first couple of weeks were, they were difficult, I would say, obviously with, we did a lot of tests, a lot of running, and, you know, trainings were really hard, but, you know, in the end, each week and each game, you could see that we were getting more fit. We were, you know, starting to play with each other, especially some of the new guys. And we really started gelling to more of a team. And, you know, that's what happens with preseason. You know, after a while, you guys, you know, start to gel together. But I think it was really, really, really good month there. I think we worked on a lot of things. And, you know, we have two more weeks to prepare now for New York. And I think we all came prepared and ready for preseason. And it was a really, really good good month there.
We're visiting with Gianluca Busio. So Boost, the goal you scored on Saturday, we called that game from back here. Left-footed? I mean, is that going to be a regular part of the repertoire now? I don't know. I think I remember you taking a couple of left-footed shots last year that had something on it, but maybe just didn't quite find the target. How is this going to be a regular feature of the Busio show this year?
I hope so. I mean, it's something that I feel I've really improved on this year. I don't want to, you know, give too much away to the defenders, you know, catch them by surprise. But, you know, it's also a thing if, you know, like I said, I want to score goals and get assists. And, you know, you can't always do that with your strong foot. So, you know, it's a good thing to have in the locker. I mean, I'm not going to say I'm, you know, just as strong with my left as my right. But, you know, if they're taking away my right foot, then, you know, I think I feel comfortable with going on my left now. And, you know, it showed. Hopefully I can score more like that. And, you know, if they're easier ones than that, then I'll take it too. But I definitely feel like I've improved on my left foot during the off season, and I'm just trying to, you know, I'll use it sometimes now that I can, you know, go both ways. And, you know, if they take away my left, go to my right, take away my right, go to the left. You know, that's something that I just want to be versatile with, and I think it'll help me score a lot of goals.
Okay, so Boost, you might not want to give away all the tricks that you've got in the bag for 2021. So let's talk about the team. For those who haven't gotten to watch a lot of preseason so far, what's the biggest difference to you between last year's squad and this year's squad, especially with the addition of a lot of these younger players? I mean, 11 homegrowns on this roster.
Yeah, I think every year we have a very tight-knit group. And I think this year it was really easy for the new guys to come in and already become, you know, real teammates with each other. And I think they bring some new quality. Some, you know, a lot of the guys have been playing in big leagues like Remy and Izzy. They've all been, you know, coming from a really big league. And you can tell even just from training that their technical ability is, you know, better than anything that I've seen. So they definitely bring that to the table. They bring the quality that's needed and that can really excel in this league. But they're also hard workers, and I think everybody on the team is. So that's good. And I think just we have a lot of players who have been here for a while, a good group of guys who a core group of guys who have been here and know the values and everything like that, and bringing a couple new guys, they blend right in, and it's easy for them because they have, you know, guys who can, you know, teach them away a little bit about Kansas and how we play and stuff like that. So I think it's really coming together well, and I think the new guys are really going to show, you know, what they're worth.
To get a little bit of a scouting report on those guys, how are they like in the locker room, especially Remy and EC, the French connection coming in?
Yeah. Remy's I think he's been longer. He's been all of preseason. So we've gotten closer with him, and he's funny. You know, he's a cool dude, and, you know, he's always around us, and, you know, he's not alone to himself. He tries to, you know, talk to us and get with everybody, not just, you know, just one guy or anything. That, you know, he's talking to everybody, and, you know, he's really trying to, you know, bring us together, and it shows. And, you know, he has a good personality, and he's hardworking, and, you know, he just wants the best for himself and for everything. And, you know, he's a funny guy also, even though, you know, his English may not be the best, but he's definitely a funny guy. And Izzy, I think he's also the same. He's a very, you know, upbeat, energetic person. And I mean, obviously it's early, and, you know, it's been a week or two, but, you know, from talking to him from, you know, the first couple of days I met him, he was, you know, always happy. He seemed like he was happy to be here and smiling. So I think he'll be a really good addition, and, you know, hopefully we can, you know, get to know him a little more.
Okay. And Ali also touched on all these homegrowns that have signed within the past year. And a lot of them are very similar ages to you, maybe a year older or two. But you've obviously been with the first team for a few years. I'm curious, how well did you already know these guys, and how are you able to help them maybe assimilate to the first team dressing room?
Yeah, obviously, I think coming from the academy, we all kind of know of each other. We're all, even if we're, you know, a year difference or, you know, even more, I think there's always the, you know, the best, the better players will always end up playing together because, you know, they always play up and stuff like that. So, you know, all the homegrowns I've heard of one or even played with before they even signed, or, you know, they played with me before I signed. So I think that's, you know, it's kind of seeing your friend just sign homegrown, which is pretty cool. And yeah, I think me, guys like me, Jalen, Daniel, you know, the homegrowns who have been, you know, playing for a while, you know, this is their third and fourth year and, you know, been on the field and, you know, starting games a lot. I think this, it makes it really easy for the new guys or the new homegrowns coming in to see that, you know, this is the next step is playing games consistently and getting on the field. And it's one thing to sign, then the next step, they can see that it's, you know, guys who are starting every game. And it makes it very noticeable that that's the pathway towards it. Obviously some of them came from or SKC2, and that was one step, and now the next step is signing and then and getting on the field. So I think I especially me, I've been, you know, it's my third or fourth year so I think I can, you know, help them. You know, it's difficult times your first couple of years when you're not playing as much, but I think seeing more homegrowns play and sign, that it makes it a lot easier, and we have more of a group now.
This Gen Z is just taking over this locker room. I mean, the ratio of millennials to Gen Z has got to be very disproportionate. Are you guys teaching the veterans any TikTok dances? Like, what's the locker room like now with all the young blood?
Yeah, it's definitely a lot younger. I think the older guys are definitely kind of getting used to us now. They're more open to, you know, being with us and trying to joke around with us. So I think we've definitely put some youth in the locker room and, you know, updated them on the trends and everything. So they're all, you know, funny and jokesters, all the older guys. So they all have that little kid in them also, and they can relate to us. So it's not like there's a big gap. We all kind of, you know, meet in the middle, and, you know, they teach us things, more, you know, responsibility things and obviously more serious things. And, you know, we'll be the ones to, you know, kind of lighten the mood and joke around. So it's a really good mix.
Well, Boots, we're about ready to start the season here. And I mean, Nate and I were just talking, you know, don't have to get the overcoats out like we usually do at the beginning of the year due to the delay. But looking at this schedule, two games to open up that are really tasty for us watching. I mean, first at Red Bulls, which one of the best stadiums, one of the best patches of grass out there. And then home opener against Orlando, national TV. I guess. What excites you about maybe these first two games in general? And then is there anything else that's really exciting to get back on the pitch in 2021?
Yeah, I think obviously a home opener or the season opener is always it's an intense game. And, you know, it's the first game, all your kind of preseason jitters and all that. It's all just kind of built up for this one game. That's what you're working towards. So I think New York will be a really, really fun game. And, you know, hopefully we can come out on top. But this is everything we're working towards is towards that first game. So I think we'll be ready for it. And especially it's in New York. It's in, you know, one of the nicest stadiums in the league. So I've never played there also. So I'm really looking forward to that. So this will be my first time there playing. So I'm really, really excited for that game. And then obviously the home opener, I think every year our home openers are, you know, and there's a lot of fans, and I don't know about this year with COVID and everything, but it's always just a different energy and atmosphere when it's the home opener. Everybody's just excited to get back on the home field, you know, you get to drive in and everything. So it's just a good atmosphere to be in. And, you know, that's something to look forward to. And yeah, I think this year we have a lot of interesting games and a lot of traveling still, even with you know, COVID and everything. But we have some nice trips, and you know, I'm looking forward to playing some teams that I haven't before, and playing in teams or in stadiums that, you know, I've never played in.
Kind of nice just to have a whole schedule, right? Like you didn't really have that at any point last year.
Yeah, no, that was definitely good. They released the full schedule, you know, not waiting every week to see you were playing on Sunday or anything. So that'll be good.
So my last question for you, Boos, you mentioned the old guys teaching you responsibility things. It's been a pleasure for us to watch you as a kid who had to, you know, get picked up and taken to practice to, like, you know, you're getting closer and closer to a full grown man every day. What's something like a mundane, you're not like the progressive auto commercial guys like us yet, where you find yourself actually acting like your parents, but is there anything that you've learned over the last year or two that you're like, man, I can't believe I'm already fill in the blank, doing my own laundry, or cooking. Is there anything that you've learned how to do in the past year?
I think all of that, really, because I moved into my own place, and when I turned 18, so I think last year, everybody was talking about all their house problems and stuff like that, and they got to go mow the lawn, and I'm kind of living with the host family still, so I'm just like, all right, that's cool for you guys, but I get to go home and do nothing, and my host family worries about that. But I think when I turned 18, then I got an apartment and everything, so I moved out, actually. Then I kind of started to realize, they got to rush home after practice, and they got actual responsibilities to take care of, and I didn't put that together until I had to come home and meet the guy to fix the ceiling or something like that. So I definitely am getting used to that still, and something that I didn't think would be coming so soon, or that I'd have to worry about. But I can definitely understand why they can complain a lot about having to get home and stuff like that.
Well, I'll tell you what, you're making the right step, because when you rent, though, you still at least have somebody else that has to fix that stuff. Then you buy a house and it's all on you. You don't,
I'm not there yet. We still got some time
for a while.
hey, submitting a maintenance request, like, let's not that's easy, okay?
My wife submits the maintenance request to me.
I'm not there yet.
I don't know how to fix any of that stuff, so I had to find somebody else. Hey, Boost, it's great catching up with you, man. We're really excited, about everything in store for you this season. And best of luck on the season opener. And hopefully we'll get to talk to you again real soon.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for having me.
All right, that is Gianluca Busio. And this segment's been brought to you by the number 10. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're listening to the Sporting KC Show on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, we're back to wrap things up on this edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show. Nate Bucati, along with Carter Augustine and Ali Trost, were presented by Michelob Ultra. And we just got done with another great conversation with Gianluca Busio, guys. And I've mentioned this. Graham Zusi told us last week on our morning show that Busio, what did he say, taking it up 3 or 4 notches, I think he said.
I have a quote right in front of me. I wrote it down. But, yeah, I mean, he was just going on and on about him and said that he's a guy who's not shrinking away from the pressure. I don't know. I can't find the notches, but, I mean.
I can't remember if it was 2 or 3 or 3 or 4, but it was several notches he's taken, not just one notch, Carter.
He said 3 or 4. So we have the potential to see 3, potentially 4 notches of Gianluca Busio up in the game.
And, not to get too carried away from a preseason game, but I thought that game against the Galaxy, the one thing that stood out to me was Gianluca Busio, and not just the goal that he scored, but, I'm actually going back tonight and watching the tape. But I don't think he hardly put a foot wrong in the game. It's just, and that's, I think, what you want to see in preseason games, right? There was a little bit of, it's the end of preseason for Sporting. They're going to leave after the game. And so there's like a little bit of that throughout the game. But he himself, I thought, was superb. And he finished it off with a goal. But he set up several attacks. That the one pass around a defender into Kyrie Shelton was, you want to see some more of that this year. So, I don't know about you guys, but I was really pleased with how he performed in that preseason game.
Yeah, the obvious thing to say is the goal, because that was the only goal of the game, and it was one to keep watching.
Yeah.
But I agree with you that it was more than that. It was the way he played the game. He can, and he made himself a part of the game. And I think that is one of the responsibilities for him, right? Is when you're wearing that number 10, you can't have those games where, oh, the game's just not coming to me. He's got to go find the game every time out. And he looked like he was intent on doing that. That's what Zusi told us too, Ali, which when guys like Graham Zusi are handing out that type of praise, I don't think you take that very lightly.
No, not at all. And I think it's a credit to Busio, who really, it was last season. I mean, in 2019, he also, I think, got some more meaningful minutes and meaningful game appearances. But it was really that last season where he was called upon to fill in different roles and test his, you know, versatility and all these things. And he really did rise to the occasion. And, you know, he said it time and time again, he learned so much from that last season. And I think for the veterans to see the way that he approached 2020 and now, you know, the confidence that he's shown and wanting to wear the number 10 and wanting to be that playmaker, you want to see that as a veteran and a young player and someone like Gianluca Busio, who has the talent. We've heard Peter Vermees say it a million times. He's got the talent, he's got the skill. And sometimes it's just some of those missing pieces, like coming in and embracing that the confidence that's needed to really execute at a high level. And it's going to be a really exciting season. I know he was just talking about, you know, the working on the left foot shooting and not wanting to get too into some of the tricks he might have up his sleeve for 2021. But, you know, in addition to seeing him create on the field, I'm looking forward to seeing him take more chances, because he's got a lethal strike from distance and has, you know, really proven to catch keepers off guard with, you know, just his rocket shot, just, you know, unsuspecting from distance. So I'm looking forward to see Gianluca Busio create a lot and assist, you know, set a lot of stuff up, but then also, you know, take those chances. And it'll be really fun to watch too with, you know, Alan Pulido and how he likes to play as that false nine. I'm really interested to see the combination and how both of them can create and then, you know, maybe even create for one another as well. So I think it's going to be a really fun season, especially seeing hopefully more of the two of them together.
Okay, so that's going to be all of our time for today. We have the full schedule out too. So next week, by the way, going to be a big anniversary show. So I'll tease you a little bit with that, because it's going to mark a massive anniversary in the history of the club when we're back with you a week from today. And we'll also break down that schedule and some things we're looking at. We're just excited to have a full schedule and feel optimistic that we're going to play this whole thing and hopefully more and more fans in the stands as the season goes on. So with that, for Carter Augustine, for Ali Trost, this is Nate Buchanan saying thanks for watching. Also, thanks to Gianluca Busio for joining us. And thanks for watching and listening to the show. We'll see you next week right here again on the Sporting Kansas City Show.